Hi, everybody, and welcome to C2C Friends to Mankind with Allie. We are in Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan today, and on our rest day. Our Sundays are rest day, and doing a recap from this week. This week, we traveled from my hometown of Calgary, Alberta, across southern Alberta and into the southern side, moving east through to the middle part of Saskatchewan. And I'm going to call Carrie Ann in and ask her to ask me some questions about this phenomenal week of cycling that we as a team put together.
Hey, Allie, how's it going today?
Good.
We were just talking offline and you just mentioned that you're in Moose Jaw. You're saying that you're feeling like a rock star. Can you explain that a little bit?
This was a big week of cycling. We cycled 922 kilometers in 1 week. We finished in Regina, and then because I still have a vehicle here, I was able to travel back to Moose Jaw, which is about 60 kilometers outside of, so west of Regina. And this is a second home to me from a childhood's perspective. Every second summer we spent here as children. Both my parents went to high school here. When my mom emigrated from England, this is where she ended up. So from England to Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan. My uncle lives here. He's a retired teacher here at Peacock, a 40-year veteran as a school teacher. And he's actually recognized, he'll be one of our guests, but he was recognized as one of the 100 giving individuals of Saskatchewan by the Queen of England. So, and just a kind of a little moment in time, went to the natatorium, where I used to jump off the diving board repetitively up and down, for hours at a time, went to Crescent Park. This morning, I got to do a little trail run on the Trans-Canada Trail, which is really cool. It actually travels right through Moose Jaw. So I was on that this morning, and, also, too, I got to go and visit my grandma and grandpa in their grave. They're buried here, and other members of my family as well. So that was a moment of reflection for me. And then this is also where my farmland is. So one of the things that I maybe haven't shared is that I'm a farmer, and my family came. My dad's family came from Depression level farmers, and we've kept the family farm. And we were playing out in the blue flax fields, which are just absolutely phenomenally beautiful right now. The blue flower and the hue and the sunshine. And we had early morning rain this morning, so everything was just glowing. And then the winds are not favorable this morning, but we went out and visited my uncle's plane. And one of the things, little points of Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan, is that it's the home of the snowbirds. And my uncle is a lieutenant colonel in the Army, cadets, and he got special permission to paint his plane like the snowbirds, which is the blue, white, and red, and his is called the slow bird. And so we visited that, and then just this morning we were coming in on Blanche, which is a 1969 convertible Mercedes, which was named after my grandma. So lots of family memories and some special times in a really amazing town in Saskatchewan. And I got to tell you, Saskatchewan's pretty cool when you come to Moose Jaw. So, and when we visited Mac the Moose and the Al Capone tunnel. Word Fest is going, Saskatchewan Word Fest. Margaret Atwood was walking down the street. So Canadian history, amazing stuff happening. It's really, really cool. And we're going to visit the mayor, wants to meet me, and we're going to share some stories in a couple of hours. So yeah, it's just really, really super cool.
Very cool. Hey, I'd like to get a little bit of a recap on the actual riding itself. Cause I know this past week in Saskatchewan, we've been going through a heat warning, extreme heat wave. And on the post on Facebook, he said, today was hot, almost 40 on the blacktop. Saskatchewan is not flat and the walls of wind do exist. So you're grateful for a whole bunch of things. From a writer's perspective, what did, and recapping this past week from Calgary to Regina, or Moose Jaw, you're not in Regina yet, in Moose Jaw.
No, we traveled to Moose Jaw. We've cycled to Moose Jaw, Regina. We've cycled to Regina. I traveled back. So yeah, we've already gone to Regina. I just traveled back.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah. So experiencing these extreme heats from a writer's perspective, what did you learn about yourself? What did you learn about how you can help the other writers? What was the highs and the lows writing through this heat wave that we're experiencing?
So one of the things I want to share, first of all, leaving Calgary felt to me like I was leaving home, and I was, one of the things I want to share with that is that we weren't leaving home, and I wasn't leaving home. I was getting the opportunity to travel into some beautiful parts. And I, as much as we're in Saskatchewan right now, Southern Alberta, to share what Southern Alberta, the riding experience in Southern Alberta, going through our agricultural domain of Southern Alberta, particularly our cattle area. That was interesting, very fragrant. and we experienced a lot of different changes in our wind. We actually came out of Calgary into a big storm. It was pouring with rain when we left Calgary. And 15 kilometers into the ride, I took a very bad fall. And there was 2 metal plates over a piece of mud in a construction area. And I bruised my ribs quite badly, tore up my hip and my knee. And was able to cycle 80 kilometers to our lunch stop, but I was almost hypothermic and definitely in shock. I was in a lot of pain. And one of the things I can experiencing as a rider was the phenomenal amount of support that we give to each other. And I've always been that one that's been able to give support to others and be there for others. At least I've always wanted to be that person. And that day I had to allow my other riders to take care of me and all of our volunteers, because I was very hurt and I needed help. And so my riding partner, Jasper, was cutting the wind in front of me. Other riders were checking in to see if I was okay. When I got to the lunch stop, everybody was getting me warm and fed and dry. They wanted to get me to the hospital. I'm a little bit stubborn that way. Didn't want to go. But I did know that if I needed to go, we had another aid station 20 kilometers ahead. And so they bundled me up with some warmer clothes. Then the sun came out. I was in pain. I was riding slow. I had a group of riders staying with me, so that I didn't have to work as hard in some really, aggressive crosswinds. And I finished up a 165-kilometer day. And that actually really was an experience from a riding perspective of how much we care about each other and how much we become friends to mankind. And we'll talk about this, but to each other, and that, we are family out there. And we ended up, our lunch break, by the way, was in High River. And Carrie-Anne, I want you to ask me about this later, but High River was a recipient of funds and resources from World Renew, which is one of the organizations we've raised money for. And that community embraced this in such a way that it was hard to move away from it, because it was powerful. And that was where I needed to recover and be helped as well. We ended up that day in Tabor, Alberta, and wow, like the community of Tabor embraced us, and the people there, they had a hog competition, who could cook the best hog, and all the local farmers brought their food from their farms and pastries and cookies and all that kind of stuff. And for the first 2 days of riding in Southern Alberta, every 15 kilometers, we had a farmer, a baker, somebody taking care of us. And so from that perspective of riding, it was tougher riding, but just that that feeling of community, of how we were traveling as a community and we became part of the community, which was a very big element to the whole situation. Wow. Once we moved out of, it was very heartwarming. And in fact, the entire organization, which is mostly from Ontario and the United States, they were blown away by how the hospitality of Southern Alberta. And they said, is this, you know, unusual? I said, no, this is Southern Alberta. When we were in Tabor, we learned about how Tabor had an organization called Tabor Cares. And Tabor Cares was up in Fort McMurray during the fires. And so was World Renew, the organization that I'm riding for. They were up in Fort McMurray with the fires. So, you know, here we are in High River. Here we are hearing about the Fort McMurray fires. And the organization that I'm riding with has been there, been part of this. And just Alberta came out to thank us. And Southern Alberta came out to thank us. I was so proud to be an Albertan. And that was day two. That's Tuesday. And then Wednesday hit. And we had a special guest come out Wednesday. So Wednesday we got to Medicine Hat. You know, my pain had built up a lot in my body. Every day we'd been riding between 150 to 170 kilometers. The heat was intense. You know, in Medicine Hat, we got there, it was about 33 degrees. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, a lot of us had meltdowns, and somebody showed up that day. Her name just happens to be Carrie Ann Barron. And we talk about our sponsors, but one of our sponsors here, as we talk on the radio and the podcast, is Tenacious Living Network. And Carrie Ann, from that evening on, spent the next 24 hours with us, and got us away from the camp for a little bit. And us, meaning my support team, my dog Mido and Rico, and my riding partner Jasper. We got to spend some time just being in open air away from the group, which was a special experience. And then that set us up for the next morning, which was probably the hardest riding that I've ever done in my entire life. We traveled from Medicine Hat across Alberta, finishing Alberta, and then across the Saskatchewan border into the Interprovincial Park of Cypress Hills. And they are hills. I wanted the world to know that they are hills. And the wind was relentless. It was headwind. It was crosswinds. It was everything but tailwinds. It was immensely hot. It was one of the guys, as I said, had his temperature gauge, and on the blacktop, which is where we're cycling, it was over 40 degrees. I experienced some pretty intense problems with my feet, the balls of my feet, and my hands. And all of us were having problems with our hands. And the reason for that is because you can't let go of your headset, your bike. And unlike when you're climbing a mountain, there's an effort to climbing a mountain, but you can spin your legs out. You can relax your hands. When there's wind, you are literally, you know, having to stay connected with your bike. So your feet are, tight to your pedals. Your hands are tight gripped to your handlebars. Your body is working. And much more than anything I experienced climbing mountains. And all of us were experiencing that. When we passed our fellow riders, we were cheering them on. If we could, we got in front of them to block some of the wind. We doused water on each other. Our aid station volunteers, so we have a group of volunteers that travel 25 kilometers, and they set up aid stations. They've got campers and provide us with food and water. They were phenomenal. And, you know, we were exasperating, and you think, okay, I've only got 15 kilometers to go. And it just seems like it takes forever. In fact, that was the joke, that, we actually got a tailwind for the last 500 meters. going into Gull Lake, Saskatchewan. We didn't think Gull Lake, Saskatchewan actually existed. So, you were there, Carrie Ann, you were taking yes. pictures. We did an interview with Mark Hammond, who is the lead of Partners Worldwide, which created an intense amount of reason why we were out riding. He was out there working our aid stations. He's been with us all week. You were with us, taking those pictures and videos, which just helped us so much. Even other riders that weren't involved in the sense of understanding what was going on, loved it, and they saw the video. But seriously, I got there and I was just like done. And we were also on our own. So Southern Alberta, we'd been sponsored in all the churches and local communities, but this time we had to put together our own camp, and I was on serving duty, and it was hard just to serve, because that's part of our role too, as riders, is we are part of the camp. So we have service teams, and we do a different service each week. And so our service team, group service team, was to serve that day. And it was hard to, you're hungry and you're serving your other riders and you're hot. And so that was.
And your feet hurt. your feet are hurting.
Yeah. And you're doing all your recovery stuff. And then the next day, and that was, 165 kilometers. Next day, we've got another 140 kilometers. We all go to bed with nervousness because we're like, oh my gosh, can we do this again? And right. It is really being with what is, because you take one pedal at a time. You take each aid station at a time. You can't think in micro, or sorry, you can't think in macro. You have to think in micro. I'm cycling with a brain injured athlete. So, when things go for him, they go very fast, which actually makes me have to take care of myself very, be very conscious so that I can be conscious to watch him. And that was a piece that I actually spoke with a friend. I said, I have to be selfish and take care of me so that I can be selfless and take care of him and be there for him. Cause otherwise, mm-hmm. And a way people maybe don't realize that, you have to take care of yourself to help others. And that's a big piece.
Yeah. It's just like that old saying, put the air mask on yourself first before you put it on your children. It's very true. You do need to have a discipline of self-care in order to be able to be at your best to serve others. And that's really what helps you do what you can from where you're at. So when you fuel your own system, then you're actually at full capacity to serve others. So, and I think that being on the serving teams and those different teams that you guys have, serving, cleaning, supporting, and all of that, really help put that into perspective and keep you guys accountable to yourselves and also to others. So I was really mm-hmm. impressed to hear about that. And it was really interesting for me to be out there with you for the day. It was hot. It was really, really hot. And I was driving behind you just to help slow down some of the traffic. Afterwards, I'm realizing I probably should have been driving in front of you so you could draft off of my car.
It was absolute wall. I've never felt anything like that before. Like, you're absolutely pushing against a wall. And I'll share that perspective. I changed that perspective yesterday because we were surprised with a tailwind on Friday, and that was really cool. We ended up in a small town called Chaplin, which is the salt of the earth. It's a salt mine, and mm-hmm. literally the Chaplin is 10 streets and 5 avenues, because I circled it. Mindo and I ran around the town, and I've never been in this small town that small. And it was, pretty much, they had the grain elevator, a little few people worked in the train, and then most people worked in the salt mill and factory there. And, talk about being very, very grounded to the earth of industry, of people. And many people were they're right on the edge. but just a huge graciousness. And we met a gentleman, his name was Christopher, and he was from South America. And he's been traveling, he wants to travel, he's traveled 50 countries. He's been traveling for 16 years on his bike. This is first, second time he said that he was actually invited into other people's camp. And he pitched his tent with us. He shared dinner with us. He shared breakfast with us. He shared so many stories. So he was a friend to mankind, but at the same time, we were a friend to mankind. And so he became part of our family. And when the morning came, our pastor, Peter, was saying a prayer, and he was saying that he wished for tailwinds for us and tailwinds for Christopher, except that Christopher was going the opposite direction. So he felt like if he was asking for something for us, he was giving, you know, the that. So we just asked for the strength. And, you know, I have a very versatile feeling about faith, but I'm like, truly, it came down to, well, it's not about, it is about strength, but it is about how, what is the perspective you bring to the, your experience? And so what I had said, when we started riding, we had a headwind, and it was 165K of almost 60 kilometer headwind. And you just dig in and you go, and so many people were fighting it and making all these, I'm pushing the wind. And I decided to say, I'm cuddling the wind. Cuddling, I'm going to get like closer it. And more intimate. And because the wind doesn't care, being with what is, I mean, the wind's there, it's going to be, it doesn't matter if I'm there or not there, it's going to be. And so it was just being present to that. And just taking a perspective of every pedal step, I'm just cuddling, I'm, you know, I'm relaxing. I'm like, what can I do? Oh, I can relax my shoulders against the wind, because the wind is so strong that I actually can just relax my shoulders instead of pushing against the wind. I can relax my body into it because it's going to hold me up. So it was very different riding. It was still hot. Each aid station, we were very focused. And I say we, Jasper and I, we ride together. We just kept moving through. We didn't actually get out of Chaplin early. We thought we would, but we didn't. We ended up helping to clean up the camp. And so we passed a lot of riders along the way. And a couple of them said, Allie, we really like when you are at the back and start later. And I said, well, why is that? And they said, because it's like sunshine that goes through the ride. And just, you know, you say good morning to everybody. And I thought, like, wow, that's pretty cool. A lot of us are very focused and sometimes maybe a little nervous, so we don't speak up. And that was nice. And
well, it's really it's just been so great, like hearing. And then you've kind of already shared your experiences in Regina and Moose Jaw. You know, we only have about
share one experience that happened in Regina, though. Into Regina, there's two things. One of the things is I want to focus on the fact that there are so many phenomenal drivers that give us space on the highway. The shoulders in Saskatchewan are terrible. You cannot ride in them. There's holes, there's debris, there's animals, carcasses. You can't ride in them. So we have to come just between the white line and the rumble strip. We have a very short place where we can ride. Most drivers have been phenomenal. They give us the lane. There's lots of space. There's not a lot. It's not like, wall-to-wall traffic. But we have had some unmarked transport trucks that have literally pinched us and pushed us in, and dangerously so, into the shoulders. We've had a couple of drivers honk at the other drivers that do that to us. But we are not here to make anybody's day bad. We are just trying to ride and move along just like anybody else. But I want to keep it positive and say thank you to all those 99% of the drivers that have been phenomenal to us. Also, Jasper, my partner, his brain injured, and we ran into a construction area coming into Regina, and it really affected him. He almost didn't get in. And the other riders, their willingness to step up and take care of him because I had to leave camp is phenomenal. So I just want to recognize, you know, that we can focus on all the things that were wrong about that, and it's like less than 1%, but the rightness of that is you know, that. And I think that's what this week has been about, is seeing the rightness in what you could focus on is wrong. So that I just really wanted to pull that, is that what is right with this situation, and thinking about that. So
I love that you said you started to cuddle the wind, that you started to just start cuddling the wind. And
I might divorce it later, but.
But I'm glad that you brought up the whole, the drivers. And I think you've mentioned this in previous discussions that we've had, but it is so important to pull over, because you are on the road, and it's a safety thing, not just for you, but for the ride or for the driver as well in that car. There's just been too many accidents. There's just been too many incidences where they haven't given them enough. Because isn't there something about the draft or the wind can pull you aside or something when they drive by
and
too fast?
When the transport trucks come by, and a car as well, but the transport trucks. And many of them have been great. We did a big shout out for Bison Transportation, phenomenal. Friends to Mankind, it's their company mandate to be conscious of slower moving vehicles and bikes and pedestrians. It's their company policy that no matter what, you give them space, you open the shoulder up, you change lanes, like amazing. It's a Manitoba-based company, and that's their company policy. Many other trucking lines, I'm sure that's their policy too, or it's just common sense. But trucks create their own wind, and they can create a crosswind. And if they come too close to us, they literally can suck us in. And, like I had an experience where I got sucked into a tar line and my tire got sucked into it. And, it scared me because I had no control of my bike. So it's not fun and games out there. It's literally, we are, like, as I said, daughters, sons, mothers, sisters, brothers. And, we're just out there enjoying this country just like everybody else. And we're not there to do any harm. And it's just silliness that anybody would want to even take that risk. So, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But at the same time, again, thank you for all those that haven't, you know,
Okay, so we have 10 minutes left, Allie, and there's a couple of things I really want you to share. The first one is the on-the-road interview that we were able to do as I was out there with Mark Ismond. I really want you to sort of sum that up quickly, what you learned, because you guys learn about the right to mankind or the right to poverty and all of the work that World Renew and Partners Worldwide is doing. They keep you updated in the camps, but I also want to focus a little bit on one of your sponsors, Mito Canada, and how they supported you in this past week. So which one would you like to do first? And remember, we only have 10 minutes left.
Okay. Well, so Mark, Mark Ismond is the head of Partners Worldwide, who is one of the benefactors. So we have two benefactors, Partners Worldwide and World Renew. Mark Ismond has been with us all week. He's been at each of our aid stations. He's been part of the team. He's also ridden part of one of the C2C rides, not Canada, but he did some really cool economics. He shared with us how they are business partners. So they're creating business opportunities, partner opportunities, economic opportunities. So creating the space environment and the foundation to create jobs. And they do that in multiple ways. It might be skill development, might be microloaning, it might be community structure, business resources. So there might be need certain resources, or an area has resources and how to obtain or get those resources. So if they have a certain niche or something like that. And he shared a quick economic breakdown. $150 creates one job. One job affects 15 people within the community, whether it be the direct family or so on and so forth. Within those 15 people, reach out and use a service that will affect 100 people. So with $150, we effectively work with 100 people within a sphere of a community. And that creates the seed and the nourishment and the foundation. And those people within the community that are benefactors of that job that's being created are also being recognized and know where the money has come from. So that they, and it's not always money, as I said, it can be other things, but they are connected. So what was really cool, what Mark shared, is that our cycling events and our fundraising and all that kind of stuff, they know about this. So they know that there's blood and sweat and tears that are going in to this money being made. So it's about creating partnerships, and it's about creating relationships, and it's about creating energy that, you know, maybe we will never meet each other, but we have a connection. And that's that universal peace that we are all one, that we have a linkage, the link that is obtainable, and that through, because I really question, what am I doing out here riding my bike? Like, all of us riding our bike, we've raised $1.5 million. What is this actually doing? But when you can hear and see and feel that connection about that, the effort of my bike and the money we've raised, and that creates $150 and creates a job, and that job creates this in the community, and that builds the community. It's a huge ripple, and that's transformational. That's what shifts the world. That's what changes everything, because now we are all invested, and we're not just giving and receiving, but really being invested and growing together, which is a forest rather than a tree. And so having Mark has just been phenomenal. And then my other partner, which is the charity partner, so coming into Regina, there's a large collection of Mito Canada people here. Mito Canada's slogan is "Do what you can for those that can't." And its focus is on money and awareness and of mitochondrial disease. And mitochondrial disease is a disease that affects the mitochondria of the cells. And the mitochondria of the cell is basically the energy engine of the cell. So each cell of our body, of our millions of cells in our body, and that engine and how it works. And a disease of the mitochondria is when that energy engine, the mitochondria, shuts down. And a collective piece of that is when the entire system shuts down. So system of cells shut down. And it creates a mitochondrial disease, which is hard to diagnose, but symptomatically it shuts the body down. And Blaine Penny, who is past president and our chief ambassador for Mito Canada, his son, Evan, was affected. He was this normal kid, playing, active, 4 or 5, 4 year old. And they thought he had an appendicitis. They got him into the hospital. And within 24 hours, he was a paraplegic. He couldn't walk. He couldn't talk. He couldn't breathe at that time on his own. Couldn't eat. And he's now actually a teenager, turned 13 this year. And so Mito Canada is a huge part of why I do what I do. I've met Evan and the entire family, but also my mom has MS. And MS, although it's a different disease, I do believe that the research done on the mitochondria, because it's the cell and we're looking at the cellular research, is what's going to transform the direction of all disease therapies, because we're looking at how does the engine work in the cells of the body that run the body. And so it's interconnected to all kinds of diseases, cancers, even anti-aging. A lot of the funding is being revved up because, anti-aging. And one of the pieces they say to keep your mitochondria healthy, first of all, is healthy eating. And the second thing is exercise, because the more you work that engine and keep it clean and put good fuel in it, but keep it moving, just like a car, if you don't move that engine, doesn't move. So physical exercise is part of it. So we have many teams, Mito Canada has many teams, triathlon teams, cycling teams, mountain biking teams. And so I carry that message. I carry that every day in my legs, my mitochondria. That's my energy, my engine. And so coming into Regina, there was a couple of people from the Mito Canada team. And then on Monday, they'll be sending us off. And many of them have had children that have been affected. Unfortunately, some have passed away by mitochondrial disease. And just to have that energy plus they're green, you know, they all wear green, which, you know, we're in heart of Saskatchewan, Rider Pride. I actually went to where Gainer the gopher came from. So to have that energy on Monday morning, I think it's going to be pretty phenomenal. But just to have another family out there, another community, another connection. And now my C2C family is like, well, what is this Mito-Canada? What is this mitochondrial disease? And they're learning about this. I'm like, oh, my goodness. And they're wanting to contribute and bring awareness. And so it just creates this flow of energy that's a positive piece. And it makes the more community and more family. And truly for me, that's what love is. Like, love is a happening. It's that energy of happening and connection. And it's starting to feel that it's like the weaves of a quilt that are all coming together. We've been creating patches, and now we're starting to sew those patches together and create that quilt of togetherness, from, you know, one shore of the world to another shore, from one shore of this country to the next shore of this country. So yeah, it's been a big week.
It's been a very big week. Okay, so one last thing. You said you wanted me to ask you quickly about the High River, and I think that has a lot to do with Friends to Mankind, correct?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, yeah. 2 minutes. So, what can you share about that in 2 minutes?
So High River, of course, Calgary and High River were affected with the floods in 2014. And not only Friends to Mankind, but World Renew, one of the organizations that we ride with, were there for 16 months. They helped with flood mitigation. They helped with building homes and cleaning out basements. And, you know, Friends to Mankind is do what you can from where you're at. And little did we know that in a small town like High River, the small things that everybody did during that period of time, what that did to transform a community. And as a result, High River is back on its feet again. It's, you know, back in business as far as, you know, the economics. But now High River is sending its resource team to the fires in British Columbia. And although it's a totally different thing, floods to fires, it's still the environment, and they're doing what they can because they were helped by the people of BC and the other people of Canada and other organizations. But now they've set their flood mitigation teams, and they're now heading to resource teams in British Columbia, which is dealing with it's literally on fire right now. So you know, Friends to Mankind, they did what they could when they're at. They're now turning this around, and you know, like grandmothers are going out there with their blankets to they've knitted for their grandkids to help to people that have been evacuated from their homes. And, you know, people are going out there with their cattle liners to get horses out of the fire zones. And they're going out with, you know, kennels for dogs and cats and all that kind of stuff. It's just people are doing what they can from where they're at, and they all become Friends to Mankind. Just, you know, they were recipients, now they're the givers, and that's how life is. One day you're giving, the next day you're receiving. And so just honoring that things switch fast. And and I do want to put a big you know, many blessings and Heartwell thoughts to the people in BC, because many of the places that we rode just a few weeks ago are on fire, have been evacuated. You know, Princeton, Lake Country, these are places we rode our bikes through, and they're in very dire straits. The winds have switched, and things are not good at this moment in many parts of British Columbia. So I just want to end by saying, you know, sending out many, many positive thoughts and lots of love and resources to the people of British Columbia to deal with that.
It's beautiful. Thank you for that, Ellie. We're going to wrap up now, and you're going to start making your way to Winnipeg this week. So I look forward to talking with you once you get there and seeing what's happened over the next 7 days. All right, Ellie. Thanks so much for sharing your insights with us today, giving us a great recap, and also touching base on the mission of C2C as well as the Friends to Mankind that you've met over the week. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Take care.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.